Je déclare ouvert.
I call to order the plenary meeting of the General Assembly. The General Assembly will this afternoon continue looking at item 10, implementation of the Declaration on AIDS, the Declaration of Commitment on HIV/AIDS, and the Political Declaration on HIV/AIDS, with the speakers list from this morning. I give the floor to the representative of El Salvador. You have the floor.
Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Good afternoon to you and to the six delegates who are here in the room. El Salvador, first would like to thank you for your initiative to hold this meeting dealing with the implementation of the Declaration of Commitment in fighting against HIV/AIDS and the political declarations on the subject. Our country recognizes the efforts of all the United Nations system to put an end to this pandemic and reaffirms the firm commitment of my country in response to HIV/AIDS, taking into account the health of the population and the goals for 2015. To reach zero cases of HIV/AIDS, zero deaths related with advanced HIV/AIDS, and zero stigma and discrimination. As of January 2014, El Salvador joined the coordinating board of UNSAIDS, and together with Brazil and Guyana are representatives of the region for the period 2014-2016. In accordance with the agreements of UNAIDS, these are men who have sex with their men, sexual workers, and trans gender groups. The transgender group is the most discriminated against, as well as suffering from the greatest violations of their human rights. This exclusion is a barrier to the access of the different prevention services and care and the consumption of alcohol and drugs. We thank the report of the Secretary General recognizing the links between the fight against violence and discrimination of the LGBT population. Madam President, the recent data shows that in the diagnosis of 6 to 4 cases daily compared to 2007 and 2013 in my country. The number of tests on the National Day of Testing for HIV/AIDS has increased in 2013, exceeding 200% of the tests done from 2007 to 2008. This represents greater efforts in logistics and in the laboratories by all actors involved. It is important to note that increase of the testing has been accompanied by a decrease in the positive cases, and this has had an impact on prevention. With regard to communication and prevention, we have a TV program which is specialized in HIV. It's the only one in Latin America, and it is on 6 channels as a permanent campaign for maternal to child transmission. And this has helped. For 13 years, there's been no increases of pediatric HIV. Prevention is of great importance, according and the National Health Service and Justice Service for providing general information on HIV/AIDS and to avoid stigmatizing as well as discrimination against people with HIV/AIDS. With regard to the hospital, there are 20 hospitals which provide therapy, antiretroviral therapy, and the World Health Organization is dealing with us. There are also 3 hospitals which are trying to reduce infections in the hospitals in the next 2 years. This will cover 40 hospitals. For some years now in El Salvador, studies to measure the expenses And the recent one was an expense of $62,305,082 per year. Training is concluded of the new law for prevention and control of HIV, and there's been consultations with all Salvadoran society, and we hope that this will be submitted to the Legislative Assembly this year. In April 2014, El Salvador took part in the Dominican Republic in discussion with Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Mexico on the regional goals based on the reports which El Salvador has submitted to UNAIDS over the last few years. After the first estimate of the goals, the consultations were held with all member countries of the sub-region of Mesoamerica, which includes the Dominican Republic. And we discussed last week in May with all countries in Latin America in order to achieve consensus these goals, which called 90-90-90, will be brought to the meeting in Geneva of UNSAIDS. El Salvador was also notified in the assignment of $37.8 million over the next 3 years for the new financing model. And this is a result of the national response to HIV/AIDS and the participation of different actors with whom we have a permanent dialogue. Madam Chairman, as stated in the report of the Secretary General in document 68-25, while we have achieved historic responses in our response to HIV/AIDS, this progress is not universal. Infections are continued to increase in many countries, in particular in the key population. We thank you for the report. Given the implications of this pandemic, which continues to be an urgent challenge in the field of health development and human rights, El Salvador thinks it's of great importance to avoid, in forum like this, the politicization of technical aspects based on evidence, as shown in the report of the Secretary General. And we hope that the draft decision, which we hope to adopt soon, will be adopted by consensus as quickly as possible to continue in our joint work, including in the preparations for a new review of the commitments in 2016, according to the practice of 5-year cycles which exist on this subject. Thank you for your attention.
I'd like to thank the representative of El Salvador. I now give the floor to the representative of the Bahamas.
Madam President, I am pleased to speak on behalf of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and to reaffirm the Bahamas' commitment in striving towards zero new HIV infections, zero discrimination, and zero AIDS-related deaths by 2015 and beyond. The Bahamas aligns itself with the statement delivered by the distinguished representative of Trinidad and Tobago on behalf of the Caribbean community and reaffirms its solidarity with sister countries of the community in the strengthening of our collective efforts to realize a region free from HIV and AIDS. We thank the Secretary General for his report entitled Towards Ending the AIDS Epidemic, Meeting the 2015 Targets and Planning for the Post-2015 Era. When UNAIDS was launched nearly 20 years ago, its first journey was an ambitious one, to strengthen the way the UN was responding to AIDS. There were many obstacles to overcome and many victories that were won. As we move toward the ultimate goal of an AIDS-free generation, there are clear gains in the reduction of new HIV infections, prevention of mother-to-child transmission, coverage with life-saving antiretroviral medications, as well as many other Millennium Development Goal targets. The key to sustained and exponential progress, however, will be dependent upon our ongoing commitment, dedication, and best efforts to care for those living with HIV while fighting for human rights for all and the end of stigma, discrimination, and social injustice. The National AIDS Program of the Bahamas has been monitoring the epidemic for the past 30 years. Since 2002, the number of newly reported HIV infections in the Bahamas has continued to decline in keeping with the Caribbean region. This decline has been achieved by adherence to the UN AIDS principles of the three ones, which represent one AIDS action framework, one coordinating authority, and one monitoring and evaluation framework. Madam President, The primary focus has always been on the prevention of the transmission of HIV with an integrated approach to prevention, care, treatment, and support. Early testing and entry into care has been a hallmark of our program and is now transitioning to provider-initiated testing and counseling. Targeted prevention messages and community outreach events offering free HIV testing continue to be strong components of the prevention program. The prevention of mother-to-child transmission program in the Bahamas has been recognized internationally as a best practice and has resulted in an almost total elimination of vertical HIV infections. Between 2003 and 2013, no child was born infected with HIV in the Bahamas when the HIV-infected mothers received and adhered to appropriate antiretroviral treatment. There are only two cases of mother-to-child transmission in 2013. Antiretroviral coverage of HIV-positive pregnant women also remains high at above 90%. The Bahamas has seen an historical reduction in maternal deaths, and due to strengthened healthcare policy and widely available antiretroviral therapy, there have been no HIV-associated maternal deaths in the past 3 years. At the end of 2013, approximately 60% of all persons medically eligible for antiretroviral therapy were documented to be on treatment. The Bahamas also serves as a resource center and assists neighboring countries in acquisition of medicine when it is needed. The Bahamas continues to make significant strides in increasing access to antiretroviral medications, declining new infections, and seeing an overall reduction in AIDS-related deaths, though as a small island nation, it continues to face challenges of sustainable funding. The government of the Bahamas, for its part, continues to work assiduously to mobilize its limited domestic resources in order to reduce the number of lives affected by HIV and AIDS, and to preserve, with quality and dignity, those that are. The need to identify funding to support the progress of the National AIDS Program in the fight against HIV and AIDS is especially recognized in the context of the desire to implement updates to treatment guidelines and scaling up antiretroviral therapy. One of the most significant challenges the Bahamas faces is its designation as a high-income country and the resulting restriction from many international donor funds. The Bahamas therefore relies on the support and generosity of international and regional donor partners such as UNAIDS, the United States PEPFAR program, and the Pan American Health Organization to carry out the mission of the National AIDS Program. The government of the Bahamas thanks our donor partners for their continued support of the National AIDS Program and the fight against HIV. We are striving to maintain our current commitments, and the strategy for achieving the goals and objectives of the National AIDS Strategic Plan will require additional funds over the longer term. The Bahamas has also been a leader in advocacy for persons infected and affected by HIV. A strong legislative and policy environment protects against discrimination in many sectors, specifically through the revision of the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act. The integration of HIV and AIDS services has been occurring gradually over the past several years. Provision for HIV and AIDS care is integrated into prison health services, and decentralization continues with the goal of integrating HIV and AIDS services into primary care throughout the archipelago. Madam President, this debate takes place at a critical moment in the history of our work in the area of HIV and AIDS. As we rapidly approach the deadline for achievement of the Millennium Development Goals, as well as the 10 specific and time-bound targets of the 2011 Political Declaration on HIV and AIDS. As we move toward and beyond 2015, there is a need to strengthen monitoring and evaluation programs in every country in order to provide greater accountability towards meeting the targets set out to eliminate HIV and provide an AIDS-free generation. These strengthened programs will bring greater clarity to those challenges that prevent us from meeting that goal. Using the data gleaned from such efforts will prevent us from duplicating our mistakes and better guide the use of our scarce resources. The Bahamas is committed to expanding access to a continuum of care for all persons living with HIV and AIDS throughout the country's primary healthcare system. For archipelagic nations like ours, this commitment requires the duplication of services across a number of islands. This commitment relies on strong mechanisms to monitor and evaluate the care being delivered in order to maintain the high quality of care necessary to improve the lives of persons living with and affected by HIV and AIDS. There is an urgent need for countries and stakeholders to work together to identify innovative yet practical approaches to scaling up services in resource-limited settings. There is a need for expanded operational research to identify best practices that will benefit the fight against HIV and AIDS. This must be supplemented by support for training and implementation to improve approaches to the management of HIV and AIDS. In order to truly make an impact on HIV and AIDS, we must also continue and strengthen our efforts to reduce the stigma and discrimination that prevents many from being tested for HIV. Madam President, HIV and AIDS is a global scourge requiring global solutions. We cannot face it alone. Therefore, let us work together to make the end of AIDS a reality for all. I thank you.
I thank the representative of the Bahamas, and I now give the floor to the representative of Armenia.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, Madam Chair, on behalf of my delegation, I would like to thank you for providing us this opportunity to have a dialogue with other member states on this important agenda item. My delegation welcomes the comprehensive report by Secretary General on the progress made in implementing the political declaration on HIV/AIDS. We are pleased to note that the total resources available for HIV programs, particularly in low and middle income countries, continue to grow in spite of ongoing economic hurdles and competing priorities. While recent progress and overall global trends are encouraging, and the rates of new HIV infections and AIDS-related mortality have been declining generally in the world, we are concerned that they continue to be increasing, particularly in Eastern Europe. In this region, there is still much to be done, not only in fighting the HIV epidemic, but also in narrowing down the treatment gap. As, for example, the regional antiretroviral therapy, ART, is among the lowest in the world, and prevention services are not yet widely accessible to all key populations. It is important to mention that a significant number of HIV infection cases registered in my country is associated with migration factor. More than half of the registered HIV cases in the country are labor migrants who were infected through heterosexual contacts outside of my country. The migration restrictions in host countries related to HIV limited access to healthcare services, HIV prevention measures, and information directly influenced the healthcare sector of Armenia. Taking this into account, a study on labor migration and HIV risks in Armenia was conducted, and based on its results, HIV prevention program has been developed targeting migrants and their sexual partners. We would like to acknowledge the continued partnership and support extended to us by Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria, UNAIDS, and other international partners, which helped to significantly improve our national capacity and form a strong national response. In this context, I would like to particularly highlight the efforts by the government of Russian Federation, which, along with its ongoing program support, recently donated sophisticated mobile clinic to provide health services, including for HIV, to people living in remote areas of Armenia. As challenges in ensuring sustainability, continuity, and scaling up of HIV diagnostics, follow-up of HIV patients, ART provisions, and monitoring still remain, we would like to call on our partners to continue their support in line with the principle of shared responsibility and global solidarity. This will be essential for sustaining and scaling up the response for my country in the future. Madam Chair, as the world is getting closer to entering another phase of Universal Development Goals and the United Nations is profoundly involved in active discussions to define post-2015 development agenda, we should be consistent in our efforts to make sure that AIDS response remains high on agenda. My delegation believes that recommendations contained in SG's current report can be a good input in discussions to formulate agenda beyond 2015. We look forward to GA high-level meeting on HIV/AIDS, which will contribute greatly to deliberations on and commitments to strategies to ensure that the vision of the global AIDS movement, zero new HIV infections, zero discrimination, and zero AIDS-related death are to be realized in the coming decades. In conclusion, Madam Chair, on behalf of my delegation, I would like to express our appreciation to Mr. Michel Sidibé and his entire team at UNAIDS, as well as Mr. Michel Kazachkin, SG Special Envoy on HIV/AIDS in Eastern Europe and Central Asia, for their indispensable optimistic vision and determination. You can count on our renewed commitment to mobilizing international efforts to defeat AIDS epidemic once for all. I thank you very much.
I would like to thank the representative of Armenia, and I give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Madam President, distinguished delegates, my delegation first would like to acknowledge the continued excellent work of UNAIDS under the leadership of Michel Sidibe. The UNAIDS Joint Program is a critically important partner at headquarter, regional, and country level. We also welcome the report of the Secretary General. We appreciate its recognition of the continued challenge of stigma, discrimination, and punitive approaches, including the criminalization of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, which pose threats to providing an effective HIV response to vulnerable populations. Madam President, what a difference a decade makes. 10 years ago, AIDS was wiping out a generation of individuals in the most productive years of their lives. AIDS was, for too many, a death sentence. It threatened the very foundation of societies, creating millions of orphans, stalling economic development, and leaving countries stuck in poverty. Today, that picture has been transformed dramatically. Landmark scientific advances, many supported by the United States, coupled with success in implementing effective programs, have put an AIDS-free generation within sight. The blueprint for creating an AIDS-free generation, launched on World AIDS Day 2012, demonstrates the strong and continued commitment of the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, known as PEPFAR, to fighting this deadly disease. As the blueprint notes, though, no one country can do it alone. Achieving an AIDS-free generation is the shared responsibility of partner governments, civil society, people living with HIV, faith-based organizations, the private sector, foundations, donor nations, and multilateral institutions. Last year, the U.S. Congress passed the bipartisan, bicameral PEPFAR Stewardship and Oversight Act of 2013, which U.S. President Obama signed into law in December. This law extends the critical authorities of the PEPFAR program and strengthens the oversight and reporting of the PEPFAR program, which began in 2003 under the leadership of President George W. Bush. PEPFAR is contributing to the global target supporting more than 6.7 million people who received life-saving HIV treatment in 2013. The vision of achieving an AIDS-free generation is no longer a distant dream. But as the Secretary General's report emphasizes, there is much work to be done until we have control over the epidemic. We have delivered results by following sound science, focusing on impact, targeting efforts where the virus is most prevalent, and grounding our work in approaches that protect the human rights of all people. PEPFAR is a public health program, and the principles of good public health demand that we strive to reach all affected populations with core HIV services, prioritize high impact, scientifically proven interventions, and focus our resources where those interventions will have the greatest impact on controlling the epidemic. Madam President, the United States remains committed to the global fight against HIV/AIDS. We will continue to support global efforts to ensure that the momentum to scale up HIV high-impact prevention, treatment, and care interventions required to reach the MDG goals and to create an AIDS-free generation is maintained and increased. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria represents a critical vehicle for donors to contribute to shared global responsibility and support country leadership in addressing these three diseases. The United States is working with partner countries to ensure that each dollar invested achieves the greatest possible health impact. With U.S. support, the Global Fund is reforming the way it works to increase the impact of its investments. The U.S. government and the Global Fund are also strengthening their collaboration under the leadership of partner countries in support of country-owned strategies. Through shared responsibility and smart investments, PEPFAR is continuing its work to help create an AIDS-free generation and build upon the success of the past 10 years. Together, we can reach this ambitious but achievable goal and create a truly lasting impact for the millions of individuals, families, and communities we serve. Madam President, it is imperative that together we commit, maintain, and increase both the momentum and focus on HIV as one of the measurable components for global health goals beyond 2015. We look forward to the future high-level meeting on HIV/AIDS. Thank you, Madam President.
Je remercie la représentante.
I thank the representative of the United States. We have just heard the last speaker under agenda item 10. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of the agenda. Before concluding, I should like to remind members that the informal consultations on the outcome document for the comprehensive review and assessment of the progress achieved in the prevention and control of non-communicable diseases will begin immediately following the adjournment of this plenary meeting. The meeting is adjourned.